time to tell the neighbors Charlie Everett is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Everett is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Not Charlie Evers, but Glenn Coble and Scott Spears sitting in for the broadcasting icon who's out with an energy issue. And, you know, as I've said before, I get asked all the time, is Charlie coming back? When is he coming back? I visited with Charlie on Saturday.
We're just waiting. Right?
We're just waiting it out to see when he can be back here doing his thing that he does so well.
Yeah, but we will never suffice to be the icon substitutes.
Oh, no. Which we've had that, you know, Monday I had an interesting discussion on the air because you and I have had the broadcasting icon discussion.
Yes, and several times.
And I believe it's, and just to clarify for people who haven't heard it, I believe it's Charlie and Madge.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, who are the other icons in the community? And to me,
Mary Ellen, for sure.
Mary Ellen Withrow, certainly. And Martha Douse. And outside of them, I really don't know.
Mayor Kellogg could.
Mayor Kellogg would certainly be 16
maybe.
Years as mayor,
yeah.
And being born here.
And he was loved.
He absolutely was loved. Yeah. He was a guy who. He won big when he won, and he was. He had some tough opponents.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, he would be an icon, probably.
With your definition of icon, he'd be right at the edge. I'm not sure you go.
It's very difficult, yeah. And that's what I say. It just, I don't like making everybody an icon, because then I think the word gets watered.
Yes, I understand that.
So, yeah, those would be the ones. Now, who would you be an icon to you? This is a Marion audience. What do you think? 740-383-9944. Who are the icons?
I thought you were asking me.
Who are the people who really changed the trajectory of Marion in a lot of ways?
I'm going to have to tell you who mine would be. Mr. Studebaker.
Mr. Studebaker.
I grew up in South Bend, Indiana.
Oh.
And
Orville Redenbacher.
And Orville Redenbacher, because I also grew up in Valparaiso. But Mr. Studebaker built the church my dad preached in. Mr. Studebaker built the house I lived in. Mr. Studebaker built everything in South Bend. So, but I never knew him because he was long gone after when we got
there. He went to his reward.
He did. Yes, he did.
Certainly did. Yeah. Now, today, Progressive Life with Glenn Coble will be on. No, it's Swap Shop, isn't it?
Swap Shop today.
Thursday.
Yeah.
Swap Shop 12 to 1. And today the topic is baseball.
Yep.
And then the Adam the Computer Guy show 2 to 3 today.
Cool. People love this baseball. You know, the reason why I decided to do a baseball trivia, it's really not baseball trivia. I'm going to give you lots of facts and stuff about baseball that are really easy. I'm not going to ask people to call in because a lot of them are really easy. But I miss baseball, and I know you do too. We're both Cubs fans.
Cubs fans. Sure.
And you kind of miss it, even though I've gotten angry at the leadership of the Cubs, but that's a political thing. Because the owner of the Cubs, his family, the owner is one of the owners, is the governor of Kansas, is it? Or Nebraska? One of those middle plain states. But anyway, I think we need to touch on baseball. And hopefully you'll be able to smell the grass when I give these questions out.
Well, it's just, it's
The real grass.
Well, the baseball season is always one of my favorite times.
Yeah.
Spring training.
Oh, yeah.
Going into summer. All-Star game. But apparently there is going to be a baseball season starting in July.
Apparently, yeah.
But I don't know what the inner machinations of that are going to be.
I don't think they know yet. They've gotten it approved through the ownership, but they do not have it approved through the players. And that's going to be a problem because they're asking the players to take a salary cut. And it's not a simple salary cut. It's a heavy-duty salary cut. But they're not asking the owners to take a cut. So it's going to be interesting. We'll see.
Well, I don't know what... are they going to play with no fans in the stadium?
I would guess that would be the only way they could do it.
That's going to be eerie to watch.
That would be. And not much fun to play in front of. My son was, as I've mentioned on my show several times, he was an All-American baseball player at Marietta. And I know people say, oh, Marietta, that's a Division III school. Yes, but they beat a lot of Division I schools. It was very good baseball. And my son used to tell me, in the April games when it was snowing out and we would go to the game, he hated playing before nobody. You know, mom and dad and three other old-time fans would show up and that would be it. And he hated playing those games because you can't hear anything. You don't get any reward for doing something really well. And he just hated them. So anyway, which reminds me, my grandson... 6 foot. He's now 6 foot four. Left-handed pitcher is now in the top 120 baseball players in the nation being looked at. So, and he's only a freshman. I'm excited. We'll talk about baseball.
Baseball is a great thing to talk about, and it's so much fun. And I'm sad that the experience that we as fans get going to a game and doing things like that will not be there this year. Apparently.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. But you know, I had gotten to the point. I get free tickets from several of my former students. One of them happens to be Bart Swain, who's the PR guy for the Cleveland Indians, and I go up there occasionally. But if I go with free tickets, it still costs me over $100 for my wife and I to go there because a hot dog costs 10.
Well, but see, that the Clippers are great.
Yeah.
I'm a dog night on Monday night. How about that?
Yeah, I'd like to do that. There's something about the major leagues that makes it more exciting. I don't know. But I don't go very much. It's kind of a busman holiday for me anyway. I went to athletic events for 18 years, and I've seen them. I've been on press row, and I've been down on the field. So,
well, for me, it's not so much about the athletic event. For me, it's more about the experience.
The crowd?
Yeah. I mean, well, you
take
go.
Take me out to the crowd.
Most people don't go alone.
Right, right.
You know, you take somebody with you.
Yep.
You have a car ride up there.
And you love the eating experience,
and
sure.
I love the eating experience. And you go down there with the person you're with, and you have a lot of fun, and sometimes you have a libation, and it's a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
It turns into a whole thing.
Yeah, it does. It does. And if you go to parks like Wrigley that have huge traditions, you can walk into Wrigley Field and you look out to right center field and you can see exactly where the home run was hit by this is really bad that I can't remember.
That was like a bird noise you just made.
The greatest home run hitter ever.
Babe Ruth,
yeah. You can see where he hit that home run that supposedly he had told a kid he was going to hit it for him. And it's kind of, you know, I don't know what it is about going into the old fields that is more fun than going into the new fields. I'm really not a fan of going. I've been to the Reds Park, and it's just too new for me.
Great American?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Riverfront was a great stadium.
Yeah, it was good.
You had to walk over, you know, you had to walk down those big...
By the bridges.
The bridges,
stuff.
Yeah, and walk over the river.
Yeah. Yeah,
they ever did away with that, I don't know. What was wrong with Riverfront Stadium?
I don't know. We'll have to ask somebody that does know.
That was sad.
Who should we get on the air that knows all that stuff?
Well, anybody who played for the Reds at that time, I imagine, would know.
One of my former students is Chris. His dad was the announcer for the Reds, and he's now an announcer. Nuxall? No, not Nuxall.
Brenneman.
Brenneman. Tom Brenneman was one of my...
I know more about your stories than
you. Yeah,
you
do. Tom Brenneman was one of my students. Now, he and I didn't get along very well because the first time I saw him, I walked into my office and there's this kid, and he was a kid then, with his feet on my desk. And I said, "Who are you?" And he says, "I'm Tom Brenneman." Well, I came from Chicago. I had no idea who Tom Brenneman was. And I said, "Okay." I said, "What are your feet doing on my desk? Get them off." And we didn't really hit it off real well.
Did he become an announcer for the Cubs?
Yeah, he has done that. Now he's an announcer for the Reds. He's a national announcer. I'm not a big fan of his because he's one of those people.
It goes back to his feet on the desk.
Yeah. But there are a lot of announcers that just blabber, 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 like I'm doing right now, about facts and stuff like that, and don't pay attention to the game. Can you imagine Harry Carey not paying attention to the game?
I don't think he did pay attention to the game.
Well, no, he was drinking half the time.
But it wasn't facts that he filled the time with. It was weird things.
Yeah.
Like Bob and Sue are celebrating their 75th wedding anniversary.
Interesting facts, yes.
And that was entertaining.
Yes. Yeah.
That's baseball.
I don't find Tom that entertaining. That's all.
We're going to break here, but we're coming back with more on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't you dare go anywhere.
You know, Nan Britton, the mother of President Harding's only child, wrote the first tell-all book called The President's Daughter.
Yes, it is a very detailed book, should we say?
Wow, is it detailed? I've seen instruction manuals that were less detailed.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
And we're back here, Glenn Coble, Scott Spears filling in for Charlie Evers. Now, don't forget Glenn Coble's show today, 12:10 to 1 p.m., Swap Shop, all about baseball. And apparently there's a tease for a Jack Brickhouse story that you won't tell on this show, but you're going to tell on that show.
Yeah, I will.
Legendary Cubs baseball announcer.
Do you associate Jack Brickhouse with Bozo the Clown? I do, because they were both on...
Bozo the Clown?
Yeah, they were both on WGN. And if you lived in the Chicagoland area like I did
Harry Carey was... Do you associate him with Bozo the Clown?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah. I mean, WGN was Bozo the Clown.
Well, even in this area, because we got WGN on cable.
And you've had Bozo the Clown on.
There's a picture around here somewhere.
Yeah,
it is.
Right out there.
Yeah. Bozo called me his favorite interviewer.
Is that right?
Yeah. I like Bozo.
I've listened to that interview, and I've listened to parts of it, where he talks about how he developed that voice, and it was basically his voice.
Just a little higher.
Yeah.
Just a little. And Marshall Brodeen came to Marion for me, who was Wizzo.
Oh, is that right? I didn't know that.
He came here many years ago.
Huh.
Well, he was a good magician.
Was he?
Oh, very good. That wasn't an act.
Okay.
The clown part was an act.
Yeah.
But his magicianry?
He was good.
Oh, he was a good
sleight
magician.
Sleight of hand. Huh?
Well, I just remember there was a... Marshall Brodeen was the... If people don't know, he was Wizzo on the Bozo show.
Yeah.
But he also was the first one to sell magic kits on television.
Oh, is that right?
Huh. And people had forgotten that.
Yeah, I didn't
and
know that.
And so there was a guy who was the stage manager for the show that I was doing with Marshall Brodeen, who had been a huge Marshall Brodeen fan because he grew up in the 50s and 60s when Marshall was selling these things on television. And he had a Marshall Brodeen magic kit. So he'd always kind of dabbled in magic a little bit. So Marshall Brodeen comes to town, and this is like his hero, you know, 30 years later coming to town. And I remember that he tried to do a card trick on Marshall. And that did not go so well for him,
say,
is all I remember.
It never goes
but
well.
The funny thing was, we met Marshall at, when he first came into town, we met him at Applebee's for dinner. And, you know, you think a card trick is a card trick. You know, he was doing those things. He liked magic. And he pulled out a deck of cards,
And it, you know, had blue back and just regular deck of cards. Yep. And I think it's going to be a typical magic trip because we're just waiting for our food. And he says, pick a card. And I pick a card out. And he memorized the card. Okay. And I put it back in the deck. And he didn't even shuffle. He just slammed the deck back into a deck. And he said, and he just tapped. I don't know how he did. Tapped the top card. Boop. And I know it wasn't the top card because I had slipped it in the center of the deck. And he never shuffled it. And he goes, boop. And he says, is this your card? And it wasn't. And I thought, oh, no. This is bad. So then he puts the card back on the top, and he turns the deck and he over, hits it twice. Again, it's never leaving his hand. Turns it back over, pulls the cards out. All the backs of the cards are now red. They were just blue. They were all blue. Now they're all red.
My goodness.
There's one blue card, and it's my card.
Oh, fantastic.
Fantastic.
I love
trick.
That stuff. Yeah.
How did he do it?
My wife hates magic. I love that, especially sleight of hand magic. I love that that stuff with the card decks and stuff like that. I have one that I every time I get a new grandchild at about age 3 or 4, I start showing them that and never tell them the secret. And I think all of them now have figured out what the secret is.
Well, I will say this, but I'm not going to, because it kind of ruined things for me. I don't know about the card tricks. Card tricks, I have no idea. But I think because Marshall came alone, he had a big trick he wanted to do at the show that night. And I think he trusted me because I was the one he knew here. I was
his
contact.
That trustful
I'm a
look.
Trusting face. And
believe it.
Well, he got me in on the trick.
Uh-huh.
And when I found out how stupid the trick was, but yet it wasn't if you watched it.
Sure.
But how simple it was and how really rudimentary.
How could you be fooled by that?
How
right?
could you? I mean, it's exactly how you think it would be done.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not going to let people in on how it was done, but I got to see how it was done. And
that's,
I thought,
cool.
I could have done that. You know, that it was that simple.
Yeah, but you didn't, and he did. So he,
but I could,
he made
I,
the big
I could
bucks.
Do that trick.
Could you?
Oh, yeah, just the way he did it.
Huh.
But it's magical when you see it happen, and you don't know.
The card tricks, a lot of the card tricks are mathematical, which is kind of cool. And that's the one I show my grandchildren. And it's all mathematical, and it works every time. It's kind of fun.
Well, it's just those things are really fun, and I think magic, especially for young kids, is really something.
Yeah, I love the look of, you know, I'm trying to remember who gave me the best look. It was probably Kobe, which is my youngest grandchild. He looked at me like I was a god. Oh, my goodness, how did you do that?
Or when you pull the quarter out of somebody's ear.
Yeah, well, I can't do that.
Can't do that one?
No, can you?
That's an easy one.
Oh, okay.
You just got to be quick.
Yeah.
And somebody told me once the secret to sleight of hand is not to pay attention. People pay attention too much to what they're doing, and that causes nervousness, and that causes the other person to look.
Yeah,
and
the
trick is to not have people paying attention to what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah. We had, I used to be in charge of getting talent for the credit union's annual party that we always had, and we had a magician on there, and I was standing backstage and couldn't figure out how in the world it was done. And I was able to see everything.
Well, like the card trick, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Card trick totally blew me away. But the thing he did, well, I'll tell you, it's a famous trick, but I'm not going to tell you how it's done, but it's the cut a tie up and then put it back together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know how that's done.
Oh, that's kind of cool. I'm going to have to beat you up and find out the answer.
But isn't that an amazing trick every time
you
see it?
Yeah.
But when I found out how it's done, I thought, what?
And they always take an audience member's tie.
Yeah. That's the odd thing of it. And you think, wow.
They're cutting his tie off.
And how do you put that back together? You know, but there's a way. There's a way. And I know the secret to that one. I don't know the secret to any other ones, but I know the tie.
All right. All right.
I thought this might be interesting. I had this conversation yesterday, and we'll get your input on it, and maybe I'll talk, because I didn't talk about it on air. But I was talking about to somebody important people in your life, when you boil it right down, outside of family, well, you can put family in this. Family's not a problem here. How many really important people do you have in your life that are meaningful to you?
I think you kind of asked a similar question. I think we talked about besties the other day.
Talk about besties.
Yeah. And a bestie is not a family member, I think.
No, and that's right. This is a difference in this question.
But this could be that. I would probably say 10.
10.
Yeah.
Now, what is your qualification for this?
It probably is somebody I love very much.
I think love is the component here.
Yeah.
You got to love the person. So you really only, in actuality, love 10 people.
Well, I better back up on that because I have more than 10 people in my immediate family. But those are the real... I don't have people outside my family that I would consider... I consider you a good friend. I consider... I can probably say another half dozen people as friends, but they're transient. They change by the year.
Right, and that happens.
Yeah.
So... who would be in your absolute top of top, which I think are the people you can't live without, which I think three. Now, we all love to play these games, you know, like the three people you meet when you get to heaven. Who are the three people who you, now we know it's 10 in the love category, the three people you absolutely could not live without?
Zero.
Zero?
I'm like you. I can do it.
You can do it with any of them. Any of them could go.
I mean, they all are going
to show up for work next week.
They all are going to go. So I wouldn't want to do without, well, any of them, quite frankly. I don't know how you answer that because my entire family is so important to me, every one of them, including my daughter-in-laws, and I have two daughter-in-laws and son-in-law. They've all become so important to me that I would rather go before any of them. Let me put it that way.
But if they happen to, you'd be okay.
I'd have to be.
Well, you have to go on. I mean, you're not going to... I'm just saying the most devastating.
The most devastating, obviously, would be my three children and my wife.
Right.
Period.
So, see, it's different because when I was going through this... I was trying to think, who would be the three people? Now, non-family members, who would you... Is there anybody?
No.
None at all?
Not that I can think
of. None would be devastating.
Boy, that's a tough one. No.
That's why these are good questions.
And it's good to think about things like that because it really tells you who you are. And obviously, I'm a pretty cold SOB because I can't think of anybody that would be as devastating as the loss of even my son-in-law, who is probably the least of my 10.
Well, he'll be glad to hear that.
But he's not listening.
I was thinking, well, that explains it. Well, I was thinking, for me, there are three, but I don't have any kids.
Yeah.
So there are three people who would be in that category of people who I really, really care about.
Do they change?
Oh yeah, they've changed a lot.
Yeah,
but no, I don't know. But currently, there are three. Now, it's fun for me because no husband or wife and no kids.
That has to be fun for you.
Well, it's fun. Yeah, it's a good time. But these people. I don't think anybody would ever guess who these people are, and I'm not going to tell you. But it's
line us up and knock us down.
That's right, dominoes. But I think it's interesting because it's all for different reasons, oddly enough. Now, the reasoning is it has to do with them, but also the reasoning why they might not be there is also to do with them. You know, everybody's got ebbs and flows.
Sure.
That's it.
Yeah, and people come in and out of your life. Now, I just thought of one who would absolutely break my heart if he passed away.
I know who it is. Go ahead.
No, you don't.
Oh, tell me.
No, it's Dave Mateer, and he occasionally does listen to us, by the way. So, Dave, if you're out there, you're the guy. But Dave was one of my students when I was at DePaul University, and we became very, very close friends. And, you know, the reason why I didn't think of them is how many close friends do you have that you haven't seen in 10 years, 15, 20 years? And in my case, David and I have seen each other probably within the 10 years, but we just don't see each other. And I feel guilty that I don't see him, but it's just not convenient. He lives in Illinois.
There are some people I'd like to put that space between. Every 10 or 15 years I see him.
I've heard you try to put that space between people as recently as last week.
That's right. Because they are so... Oh, gee whiz. And that's why you never get upset when somebody leaves.
I'm sorry, you got me going. Well, if I said the person's name, you'd laugh too.
I don't say the person's name. But, you know, sometimes that has to happen.
Yeah.
It does. See, if you do something like that person does, you will space 15 years out between periods.
You know, I probably see the ones I don't like more often than I see the ones I do like.
And maybe that's why you don't like them, because you see them too often.
Maybe so. But I thought closeness creates love or something.
It does?
It doesn't.
Oh, it doesn't for me. No.
What is that expression? I don't know.
You know what?
Don't get older.
I'm trying to think of a trait that I like in somebody.
Like them to bring you food.
Yeah, I do like that. Matter of fact, my three might have changed this morning.
But she did bring you food.
She did bring you food. You got it right. That's all that has to happen. We're breaking. We're coming back.
Scott, WWGH Radio is my favorite place for news.
Well, Ted, I take that as high praise.
Well, it's true, without a doubt. Where else can you find a mayor, governor, treasurer, and the Golden Voice all on the same show? Variety is the spice of life.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Glenn Coble, Scott Spears filling in for the one and only and irreplaceable Charlie Evers here on a rainy Thursday. Maybe it's not rainy anymore. It was rainy when I came in this morning.
Yeah, it was raining when I came in too, a little later.
But we're talking about people in your life and their importance and so on and so forth. But I said my list might have changed this morning, which, by the way, I want to mention, I believe, if you listen to the show this morning, it's my belief that the podcast Paper Rings with Abby and Michelle will return live to the airwaves tonight.
Yeah, I wondered what happened to that.
Well, nothing. People thought there was some problem, and there
wasn't. Yeah, I did.
No, there wasn't. No. There was never any problem.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. Okay. There was never any problem. It was just we had trouble getting together, and Michelle was sick one week, and that kind of threw
it.
That'll
throw it off.
Yeah. It threw it into a weird thing, and then, you know, this whole COVID thing's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And their circumstance changed a little bit, and my circumstances were changing a little bit, and it just got hard. But with Abby in here this morning, she seemed to be pretty confident that it was going to be pulled off tonight.
Cool.
And I think so. Well, really, the only other yes we have to get at this point is Michelle, so we're down to one yes.
You've got to, if you're going to do a podcast, though, regularity is important. Just
well,
like
it is, and that's what I said to them. I said it's regular. It's got to be regular.
Absolutely.
So hopefully tonight at 8 o'clock, you'll be able to tune into this station and hear Abby and Michelle and myself back together,
yep,
reunited again.
And I'll bring back up the mention of my son and daughter-in-law's wine webcast that they have every Wednesday night at 8:30. If they didn't do it every week, people would stop watching. But since they've been doing it every week for probably 3 or 4 months, they have the audience keeps growing because somebody will join in one day and
that's the thing with the podcast.
Yeah, you gotta stay.
You gotta be consistent.
Yeah, you do.
And if you're not consistent, you're in trouble.
A lot of getting nose filled up again.
Well, a lot of people get dismayed in the beginning because they look at the numbers and say, well, those aren't great numbers. But you got to realize it's just like anything. It's a show. It's a.
How can you look at the numbers?
A lot of people do on YouTube and things like that, I think.
Oh, I didn't know you could look at those numbers.
You can look at those numbers.
Okay.
But you just got to build. And that's how a podcast works.
Yeah. We're up to 10,000.
10,000.
Or maybe.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing because I was having a conversation the other day with somebody about, you know, you do have a lot of the same people calling in, but...
We always have a new name, though, that we don't know.
Right, we don't know. But you have to listen to big stations. They have the same problem.
Yes, they do.
Because what happens is that a person who calls in... usually has the number memorized, so they get to it quicker than anybody else. They are somebody who's comfortable to call, which we're glad,
absolutely.
Because they know the host and they listen all the time. And that's... I was told one time that the call-ins only represent 2% of your audience.
Huh.
And I was told that by Nielsen.
Huh. Well, that's interesting. I know I've wanted to call in several times to shows, but I was afraid. I mean, uncomfortable about calling in.
Well, like last night, there was... 4 or 5 calls on the answering machine for a trivia show that aired last Friday. And it was a caller who I did not recognize.
Yeah, they thought you were live.
They thought we were live.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's, and people listen in different day parts. You got to remember that. We repeat shows here, much like most television shows. And you got to realize, well, maybe when it was live, only this amount of people were listening. But when it replayed, how many people were listening?
Yeah, and it's a different audience, probably.
It's a different audience.
Yeah. Now, I've often thought about that, and I thought I ought to bring that up to you. I really believe that we should announce a little bit more often what the day is. You know, even if you only say, well, it's Thursday. That'll give a listener a clue if it's recorded and they're listening to it on Wednesday, you know, so.
Well, usually I do at the top.
Yeah, that's the problem. If it's only at the top, then you can listen all the way through.
Well, that was one of the problems. In the beginning, people said, well, you ought to put something in there that this is a pre-recorded broadcast. Well, that's fine, but if you didn't hear that, then you don't know.
Well, that's true. That's true. I think I'm going to try to be a little bit more... cognizant of the fact that like my this thing I'm going to do this afternoon with baseball, I think I'll try to mention that it's Thursday and Swap Shop, and so that people know, so that they don't call in. I really when I do trivia, I tend not to call ask for call-ins. I give the answers pretty quickly, and because I think people just want to listen to it. Oh, I knew that. I have a daughter in-law who loves to answer the trivia questions that they ask on this wine show my son does. And she gets all bent out of shape if she doesn't get in first. So I don't know. I'm going to try to announce that it's what the day it is.
Well, I want to tie a knot in the conversation we were having before the break about the three people
Who
are... Now, see,
you're not going to give us their names.
No, though. I'm not going to give you the names of the people who are the three people in life.
They probably changed from an hour
ago. They probably changed an hour ago. But, you know, I will say this. This is what I wanted to say about that.
Okay.
The number one person is the number one person because of their... They have a trait that nobody else has. Now, the other two have great traits, and I'm not saying they're not unique. Every person is unique. But the other two's traits overlap somewhat. But the person who is number one is completely unique. There is no... nobody exactly like them.
You could say that about Dahmer, too.
Yeah, but he wouldn't be on the list.
He wouldn't be. Is how long is that person that's number one? How long has that person been number
one? How long
has
they been number one?
Yeah.
Oh, not very long.
Okay.
No, because I think you learn more about people as time goes on. And I think I learned a lot about this person as time went on. And it's interesting because at one point I thought this person had a lot of faults.
Okay.
But I've learned that their faults are not necessarily faults.
Well, you don't have very good judgment anyway, so.
People I put on the air, that is one of my worst traits. Hey, Mike.
I can't stay long.
Oh, well.
Let me slide over and give us some social distance.
Seats at the party.
There we go.
Mike Wilson here. Mike, how you doing?
Let me get my mask off here so you can hear me.
Yes. What's new?
What's new? Well, I just stopped by to let folks know with businesses opening back up and so on. Mark Holbrook will be on my show Monday letting us know what to expect to see out there in the businesses, what's expected of customers, that sort of thing. So it might be a good show to listen to.
Monday, 5, 10 to 6?
Yes.
Right here on this station?
Most certainly.
Right after Linda's Voice of a People.
Yes, I'll be here.
Yeah, so it'll be Mark Holbrook, head of the Convention and Visitors Bureau here in Marion.
Are there still a lot of businesses that won't be open?
That I don't know, but be listening, Glenn. I will. You might find answers.
Now, your show from this past Monday is repeating. Now, who was the guest this past Monday?
Past Monday was, it was Fred Malone.
Fred Malone.
With the 1913 flood.
Ah, 1913 flood.
Yes.
Not coming from here, I have no idea what he's talking about.
That was a big deal, the 1913 flood.
The way he said it, I was sure it was.
Pretty much wiped out bridges and everything in several states.
Oh,
so,
my.
Yes. Huh. And Fred was pretty interesting. A few weeks ago, we talked about the 1918 pandemic, 1919, whichever it was.
18. Well, it lasted 3 years.
And there were several similarities between that and our current situation.
I played an interview of a gentleman that was alive during that time. One of my friends did an interview with him back in 2004, I think it was. And so I played about 7 minutes of it where he was talking about the coroner. They called the coroner and said the daughter had died in the family. He said, put her out in the snow and she will be fine. They did the entire family, and finally, the father died in the house, and the entire family was out in the snow.
Oh, my.
Dead. It was scary.
That's an awful story.
It is an awful story.
I guess I would preserve the bodies until they could do something.
Yeah, that's what they... Yeah. So that they could bury them. Crazy.
That's a tragedy.
Yeah. And it was far worse than this pandemic because we had no knowledge of how to take care of it. Anywhere from 50 million to 100 million people died in the world in those 3 year period because of that.
Wow.
Crazy. Flu.
Isn't it amazing what flu can do?
Yeah, and of course they had people wearing masks. They had people, they didn't call it that, but social distancing.
Yeah.
Those sort of things. They closed down theaters, churches, any kind of, get-togethers.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and here we are.
Yeah.
And here we are, 102 years later.
Yeah. Well, you got to do what you got to do.
Well, tomorrow we'll tell a tale when the haircut places open up. And
you getting yours cut?
I don't know.
Getting mine cut.
Well, here's the problem. I think the lines are going to be so long.
That's going to be a problem. And most are probably going to take appointments only.
Yeah.
Because they can't have people sitting next to each other waiting.
Yeah. Well, do people also know that you have to wear a mask when they're cutting your hair? Tracy Kinsler said that on Tuesday.
Yeah.
But they're not going to supply the mask. So if you show up for your appointment and you don't have a mask with you, exactly. Tough luck.
I think most of the places will supply a mask.
You think?
Well,
I don't think the barbers in town are going to have masks everywhere.
The one I'm going to said he is. So, but I'm not going anyway. I'm too close to that bad age. Not close. I'm well over that bad age. So, I don't want to die.
Glenn, you're not going to die.
I could die tomorrow.
You think that barbers are going to supply masks, though?
I only know about my barber.
You've talked to it.
Yeah.
And he said, I've got masks. You'd have to have a ton of masks.
No, because like Mike was saying, they're only doing it by appointment. So if he knows he's got six people coming in, he has six masks.
Well, I hope these people got more than six people in a day.
Well,
with the social distancing, that might be all they get done.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Are you even going to be able to get in to get a haircut?
Right.
You know, like Great Clips, I know that's a very popular place in town. You register online. Well, what's that time frame going to look like?
Yeah, and they go really fast. You can get a clip there in 20 minutes, whereas my barber takes probably 45.
Mine does too.
Yeah. So
I don't know if mine takes that long. I go to Great Clips. I like Great Clips.
Well,
hair is not complicated.
My hair is not complicated because there isn't very much there. But my barber keeps complaining, you have too many cowlicks. Well, I don't have any cowlicks anymore.
No, you took care of that.
Yeah.
Well, stay out of the dairy barn.
Yeah. Is that where that name came from? The cow actually licked
cow lick in the dairy barn.
Have you ever felt a cow's tongue?
Yes.
It's kind of a rough...
I've eaten one.
I've not had cow tongue.
Ooh. Well, no, it tastes like roast beef. But just the thought. Ooh. Just the thought. My mother used to serve it all the time.
I think you should not tell somebody what you're feeding them if it's something like that.
Well, until after they eat it.
My mother and father were from the Depression time. Mm-hmm. And cow tongue was cheap. And we ate cow tongue quite often.
Wonder why that was.
That's how they licked that problem.
Exactly.
Throw him out.
Yeah. You know what really goes good with cow tongue, though?
What?
Fruitcake.
Charlie came
the
in.
Worst thing in the world.
Of that, I'm leaving.
Mike, thank you for stopping in.
The
Mike Wilson Show Monday, 5:10 to 6 p.m. on this station this coming Monday. Mark Holbrook, head of the Convention and Visitors Bureau, Monday, 5:10 to 6 p.m., talking about businesses that are opening back up. We'll find out which ones those are and which ones those are not.
And if my wife is listening, I moved over, so I gave Mike some social distance.
Because you don't want to die.
Yeah, and I want my wife to think I'm a good boy.
And Glenn, your show's coming up next, talking about baseball, the great American pastime that it is, the great American game.
We're almost out of time.
We're almost out of time, and it has been fun today, and we'll come back and do it again tomorrow.
Not me.
Not you, but I'll be here
Friday.
Yeah. And boy, Friday already.
Yeah. Now, if you'd start to pay me, I might come in on Friday.
Well, the big money. Charlie got all the big money.
Yeah,
the
way it goes. He
got all the big money. Well, I'm glad everybody tuned in today, and I hope you come back tomorrow. But stay tuned for Glenn Coble, 12 to 1 today, and Adam, the computer guy, will be on 2 until 3 today. So don't you dare go anywhere. You're tuned in to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. And that's a wrap for this particular show.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio. The place to talk. Bob McGrath from Sesame Street.
Oh, who are the people in your neighborhood? In your neighborhood? In your neighborhood? Say, who are the people in your neighborhood? The people that you meet when you're walking down the street. The people that you meet each day.
Legendary newsman Hugh Downs. Did you ever think you would be referring to the NBC News anchor as doing something this stupid?
No, I never did think I would. I didn't think that could happen because, first of all, I think the way NBC itself has handled this is really not as smart as it could be. It could be they got to quit using words like mistake and error. And start saying what the truth is. That's what they're trying to get out. If they do that, they could get some public restoration of their credibility and help themselves a lot. But they're not doing that. They're still willing to call it a mistake, and that's dumb. It is dumb.
Legendary actor from Barney Miller, Abe Vigoda.
I'm gonna be 94 years old. I'm gonna be 94 years old. I'm so grateful to God.
And from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, Mr. McFeely.
If there's anything you want, if there's anything you need, McFeely's delivery brings it to you here with speed. Yes, our speedy delivery is a speedy delivery. Speedy delivery to you, Scott.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. Streaming live on the internet at www.gh11.com.